And we're going to be doing a radio program here in just a second, and I'll be starting and making some comments for the radio broadcast, so you just ignore that. I will probably not give you time to turn to all the verses. When I teach on the radio, I know that most of the time people are listening in the car or even at home. They don't turn to all the verses, and so a lot of the verses I will just read and give the reference. And that's not the way we usually do it, but at any rate, that's what we'll be doing. And if you have a cell phone, and I would appreciate it if you would at this time take it out and put it on vibrate or turn it off, because that can be somewhat disrupting, particularly on the radio broadcast when you hear a phone ringing in the background. So I'll give you just a second to do that, because some of them make noise when you turn them off. Welcome to Understanding Your Bible. We're glad you tuned in today, and as always, we hope that the broadcast will be a blessing to you. And again, I hope that you'll stay tuned for the full 30 minutes as we once again study the Word of God rightly divided. At the end of the broadcast, we'll give you information about how you can contact us if you would like to do so. And I hope you'll get a pencil and paper and write that information down. And as always, we would love to hear from you concerning the broadcast. Whether you agree or disagree, we would love to hear from you this coming week. Today, we're going to be talking about something that sometimes there's confusion about in relation to rightly dividing the Word of Truth, and we're asked about quite frequently, and that is, why is it that you put so much emphasis on the Apostle Paul? Why is it that you single out Paul and follow Paul rather than the words of Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or Peter, James, and John, the other apostles? Well, there are several reasons for that. The Apostle Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." In Romans chapter 11, verse 13, Paul said, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." In Acts chapter 22, Paul is given an account there of his salvation. And he says that the Lord spoke unto him and said, "I'm going to send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." Also, in Romans chapter 15, and if you'll turn there, we'll look at Romans chapter 15. The first reason that we would give for following the Apostle Paul is because simply he is our apostle. And when I say our apostle, I'm talking about he is the apostle of the Gentiles. Until the salvation of the Apostle Paul, there was never a specific apostle sent to the Gentiles. As a matter of fact, what we're going to see in a few moments is that salvation prior to the Apostle Paul always had come through the nation Israel. But in Romans chapter 15, our apostle, the Apostle Paul, concerning his ministry, in verse 16 says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Back up in verse 7, Paul makes a reference not only to his ministry, but to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry. In Romans 15:7, or verse 8, he says, "Now I say," listen to this now, "I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." Let me read that again, because that is very important. You see, it is important that we believe the Bible means what it says, where it says it, to whom it is said. And Paul, in writing to the church at Rome, says that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. Well, who was the circumcision? The circumcision was the nation Israel. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And so when Jesus Christ came to earth, he came as a minister of the circumcision. Why? To confirm the promises made unto the fathers. And that's exactly what he did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That did not include people like you and I, idol worshiping, Gentiles who are apart from the covenants of promise were not included in that ministry. Who was included? Well, if you read Matthew 15, you'll find there's a woman that comes there who is a Gentile, and she beseeches the Lord to heal her daughter, and eventually the Lord says that he did so because he had found not so great faith, no, not even in Israel. But the fact is that for a Gentile to be saved, during Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they had to go through the nation Israel. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul addresses that in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2. Notice what he says in verse 11. In Ephesians 2 verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. The uncircumcision in your Bible are Gentiles. Now, I know today that there's a lot of people who teach that the church is simply spiritual Israel. Listen, folks, the church is not spiritual Israel. The church is not physical Israel. The church is not Israel, period. The church is the church, the body of Christ. And everybody saved today is baptized into that body, whether they be Jew or Gentile, bond or free. It makes no difference who you are, what your nationality is, what your background is, what your race is. We're all one in Christ. Why? Because Christ died for us, and that was the message that was given to Paul. Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. So the reason that we follow the Apostle Paul is because Paul was saved in Acts chapter 9, and declared himself to be the apostle of the Gentiles. Now notice what he said there in Ephesians 2 verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That was their previous position before the revelation given to Paul. But notice those wonderful words in verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Thank God for the but now in your Bible. Because that but now indicates a change has taken place. If I told you, I used to live in Alabama, but now I live in Tennessee, you would understand without a problem that is distinguishing where I live now from where I lived in time past. Well, there is no difference in the usage of the phrase. He said in time past, you were Gentiles in the flesh. You were called uncircumcision. You were without Christ. And you know, it's interesting, he does not say that you were without Christ because you were smoking cigarettes and drinking beer and going to the movies. He doesn't say that at all. He said the reason you're without Christ is that you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Well then, salvation must have been through the commonwealth of Israel. This isn't harsh, folks. I mean, this isn't rocket science. It's just what the words say. Think about it. Christ said, I came not but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said the children must first be fed. Paul said he is the minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made unto the fathers. And Paul said, during that period of time, you're without hope and without God in the world. You know, folks, why anybody wants to resist this truth is beyond me, because what this tells us is there came a time when the door of salvation was open to all men. Not on the basis of their nationality, not on the basis of blessing Israel. You see, God told Abraham all the way back in Genesis 12, he said, I'll bless you and I'll bless those that bless you. And in thy seed shall all nations be blessed. There was always Gentile salvation, but it came through the nation Israel. But when Paul wrote to this church at Ephesus, he's saying to them very clearly, emphatically, and without question, that you Gentiles, who were called uncircumcision, you were strangers You were without Christ. And the reason you're without Christ is you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers from the covenants of promise. In other words, they didn't fall into that promise made to Abraham because they were not blessing Israel. And by the way, you're not either. I wonder how in the world you could bless them. They're not God's people. They're low am I. I mean, how are you going to bless Israel today? They're strangers from covenants of promise. They had no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, now in the dispensation of the grace of God, you who were far off, you who were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, you who were strangers from covenants of promise, now in Christ Jesus, you've been made nigh by the blood of Christ. Why? Because God Almighty saved a man, a Jew, who was persecuting the church and gave that man the dispensation of the grace of God. Notice what he says in Ephesians 3 verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you word. In other words, God gave Paul the dispensation of the grace of God for us. People who were outside the covenants of promise, strangers, without hope, without God, He gave it to Him for us. And so in this present dispensation which we're living, you've been made nigh. And all you have to do today to be saved is trust in what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary. Receive the free gift of salvation. And at the moment of trusting Him, instantaneously, by one Spirit, you're baptized into one body. You're a member of the body of Christ. You see, you go back to start reading in Matthew. And you read over there and you try to figure out how to get saved. You know what you're going to end up in? Total confusion. I mean, in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord tells them that if you forgive not men your trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. So try that one for a while. See how long it takes you before you find your place, find yourself not being forgiven or forgiving. You get over to Matthew chapter 19, and Jesus said, man came to Jesus and said, what must I do to have eternal life? And He said, keep the commandments. Man said, I've already done all that. He said, then go and sell what you have. Give alms to the poor. Get over to Acts 2:38, Peter's preaching a murder indictment. He says, the men there said, what must we do? He said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Folks, you can find a church that preaches every one of those, either singularly or combined, as the method of salvation today, and it's total confusion. But you get over to what your apostle, the Apostle Paul, and the very first chapter in Romans 1:16, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then you flip over to 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, and he said, this is that gospel, that Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and He was raised again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Now listen, you just take those two verses, two passages. The gospel is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth. What do you have to believe? Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures. Was buried and rose again the third day according to Scriptures. You believe that? Accept that truth as yours? And you're saved. You don't have to get up and go anywhere. You don't have to walk down any aisle. You don't have to kneel down at an altar and pray. All you got to do is simply trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Man wrote me a while back. He was listening to a CD of ours, driving down the highway. Said he got under such conviction, he pulled over on the side, and he said, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior right there in front of Walmart. He said, I never knew that could happen. I always thought you had to go to church, walk the aisle. Folks, the issue today about salvation is confused by not rightly dividing the word of truth. Salvation is by grace through faith. That message was committed to our apostle the Apostle Paul. Paul received this message by direct revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in Galatians. In Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul says there in Galatians chapter 1, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Why is that significant? Because that tells us that Paul was not preaching the same thing that the 12 were preaching. God Almighty, when He saved the Apostle Paul, He gave him a separate and a distinct revelation called the revelation of the mystery. It's called the gospel of the grace of God in Acts chapter 20. It's called the gospel of Christ in Romans 1:16. And in Romans 16, Paul says, now to him that's the power to establish you according to my gospel. Paul received the message by direct revelation. And listen, folks, the words written down in your Bible in Romans through Philemon are not the words of the Apostle Paul. They're the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we make I do it all the time, just out of habit. When I read a verse, I say, the Apostle Paul said thus and so. And Paul did write it down. But you see, there's this dilemma people face, and I've had many discussions over the years with people, and they say, you mean you would take the words of Paul over the words of Jesus Christ? And I say, no. Because the words of Paul are the words of Jesus Christ. Just because they're different, just because there's a further revelation, doesn't make them not the words of Jesus Christ. When Paul was saved and when Paul received the message, he said, I certify you that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, now him that's power to establish you according to my gospel. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to what? The revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. God's manifested His Word through preaching. It's through the preaching and teaching of our apostle, the Apostle Paul. You see, Paul's salvation was totally unique from what had previously been taking place. Look in 1 Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy 1. In Matthew chapter 12, and I don't want you to turn there for time's sake. In Matthew 12, Jesus Christ said to the disciples, He said, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven thee, except for the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And it shall not be forgiven thee in this world, nor in the world to come. It's what people call today the unpardonable sin. And there are many people today that believe that if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost or you can send away your day of grace, and there's one other one that people mention from time to time, resisting the Holy Ghost, that kind of thing, that you cannot be saved. Let me tell you something. You that are here in this auditorium, you that listen to this on the radio, I've got some wonderful news for you today. There is no unpardonable sin. Christ died for our sins, and the Bible says He hath forgiven us all, that's A-L-L, all trespasses. The Apostle Paul was an example of that. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, he says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Now notice, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause, now notice this verse. Howbeit, for this cause, I obtain mercy, that in me first, did you hear those words? That in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which you have to believe on Him to life everlasting. Then, according to what Paul said, He was first. If you're first, is there anything that comes before that? No. Paul was not the first man ever saved. He was the first man ever saved simply and totally by the grace of God. For when the Lord appeared to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9, based on the sin Paul had committed, God would have been just in pouring out His wrath on Paul and killing him at that moment. Why do you think Paul was in fear and trembling? He knew that. And at the moment he recognized who the Lord was, he knew that he was worthy of death. And he said, "But I obtain mercy." Folks, you know what? You and I obtain mercy. You and I, by the grace of God, have salvation available to us today, not on the basis of who we are, what we've done in the past, what we're doing today, or what we will do in the future. We have salvation on the basis of the finished work of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible says, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing our trespasses. Somebody told me, they said, "I believe you quote that verse every Sunday." I never get tired of it, folks. You're looking at a sinner here. You're looking at a man that deserves to be burning in hell right now. And you know what? I'm looking right back at some too. Because that's all we deserve. You think about what you deserve in your flesh, and yet to acknowledge the fact that when God sent His Son to die on that cross, God accepted that payment for our sin. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing our trespasses. You know what? There's nothing really in teaching today, religious teaching, that infuriates me more than to hear preachers preach that God is doing bad things to people or getting back at people for what they've done. I remember back when Katrina hit New Orleans, there were preachers who got on public television and said that God brought the wrath upon New Orleans because of the homosexuality existed down there. Well, folks, you know what? There was a lot of saved people killed in that hurricane down there. Did you ever notice in the Old Testament when God brought His wrath upon people, He always delivered first His people? Noah, Sodom and Gomorrah. What am I saying? I'm saying to you that when God sent His Son to the cross, the Bible says He reconciled the world unto Himself, and He was not imputing our trespasses. Bad things happen today because we live in a sin-cursed world. But today you're living in the dispensation of the grace of God. And God's not bringing bad things upon you because of what you're doing in your flesh. You may reap what you sow. You might have some bad things occur. I'm not saying that. But God is not punishing people today for their sins. If He is, 2 Corinthians 5:19 makes no sense whatsoever. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing our trespasses to us. You know what that means? We're not suffering the result of it. I mean, you think about this as a parent in a very simple illustration. Your child does something, disobeys you, and you know it's your responsibility to punish them, to bring judgment upon that which they did, bring corrective punishment. What are you doing? You're imputing their trespasses into them. Like Tim, he's, I guess, about in the 6th or 7th grade. I'd exhausted about everything, and you try spanking them sometime, and then you try restriction, and you try just denying them stuff, everything but locking them in a room, not giving them food and water, you know. You try everything you can. And so I finally asked Tim, I said, "Tim, you know what you've done. What do you think I ought to do?" He said, "Well, why don't you just show a little grace this time? Just show a little grace." You know what the grace would be? No consequences. Which is, I'm not God. I do have responsibility. I did have responsibility, and you parents do. But you see, that's the example, folks. God is not imputing our trespasses to us. Why? Because Christ took them all on Him. Think about Him sending His Son, Jesus Christ, hanging Him on a cross, and 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made Him to be sin for us. He puts Him to death for our sins. He's buried. He's raised again. After 40 days, He ascends into heaven. And He's sitting there at the right hand of God, and God's looking down here, and Steve Atwood steps out of line, and God says, I tell you what, I'm going to zap him. And Jesus Christ says, wait a minute, I thought I paid for all those sins. Now that might be kind of bringing it down, but listen folks, that's exactly what it would be. God cannot punish you for sins that He's already punished Jesus Christ for. He's forgiven you all trespasses. Not because you deserve it, not because you asked for it. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us all sins. That is not written to the church, the body of Christ. You do not have to confess your sins to get forgiveness for them. You want to confess them? Confess them. If it makes you feel better, if it makes you somehow deal with them better, I have no problem with you getting down before the Lord and confessing your sins. But don't ever confess them with the idea that that's somehow going to bring forgiveness. They're already forgiven. They're already under the blood. And if you want to confess them, and I think sometimes that's good. Personally, I'm going to confess mine to the Lord. I'm not going to confess them to anybody else because everybody else is not anybody's business. But you know, there's some churches that when you do things, they say you got to come and confess it to the church. I just always figured they're kind of nosy. Won't know what's going on. But seriously, folks, you don't confess sins to get forgiveness. How can you get forgiveness for something you've already forgiven for? There's nothing wrong with confessing your sins, acknowledging them, telling the Lord you're sorry for them, repenting of them, having a change of mind about them. I mean, that's needful in every life. Paul talks about that kind of repentance, godly penance, godly repentance. But it's not for forgiveness. It's not for salvation. The Apostle Paul clearly stated that he is the apostle of the Gentiles. He said that the message that he received by revelation of Jesus Christ. And he was given the dispensation of the grace of God to usward. And Paul said that he was the first ever saved in the very unique way that he was saved. And that is totally and completely by the grace of God. He said that in me first, He might show forth all longsuffering. Notice the next words. For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. You want to know how to get saved? You're going to have to get it through the Apostle Paul. He was given the revelation of the mystery. He was given the gospel of the grace of God. It was called His gospel. And it's called His gospel because it was revealed to Him. Separate and distinct from any truth that had previously been revealed. Now I ask you, and I've got four more points that we're going to do on next week's program, but I ask you, on those three or four things that we've mentioned here today, isn't that enough? Isn't that enough scripture and enough understanding to know that God desires for us to follow our apostle, the Apostle Paul, who is the apostle to the Gentiles? Who was given the dispensation of the grace of God, who by revelation was given the gospel of the grace of God, and who was saved by grace as a pattern to those who should have to believe. I invite you today, if you've never done so, trust Jesus Christ as your Savior right now. Doesn't matter where you are. You don't have to bow your head and pray. You don't have to go anywhere, do anything. You just have to, in your heart, accept the truth that you've heard today, the truth of the gospel, that Christ died for your sins. Was buried and raised again the third day. And He'll save you right this very moment. And He'll do it for Christ's sake. Hope you'll tune in again next week as we continue this message about Paul, our apostle.